Just how great he is. We shall see the king when he comes. Wrong key.
There's a blessed time that's coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride united with we'll have the blessing of the time. We shall shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He is coming in power. We'll have the blessed heaven. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call? To crown your Savior, King and Lord of all. The kingdoms of this world shall surely fall and fall. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King.
Looking for that blessed hope
and the glorious
appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Before you're seated, I want us to take a special need to the Lord in prayer. Sister Davis, let me know of a need. Lady by the name of Jenny Galvin.
Brother, just say that that's a health concern.
Certainly. Dealing with a very serious health concern. She has got numerous, like 5 children, 3 of them still in school, a very serious health situation. And so I want us to just take Jenny Galvin before the Lord in prayer this morning. Can we do that right now?
Yes, amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you. And we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you that you care, or you're concerned with the needs. And we ask you, God, that you would work. This lady's in need of a miracle, God. She one time attended this church,
yes.
God. She knows, God, what it means to serve you, God. Lord, I pray that she would look to you, God, your help and your strength, God. Ultimately, your power to heal, to help, God, and to save, God, to deliver, God. Whatever we have need of, we can come before you, God. And we bring this lady before you in prayer right now, believing and trusting in your power to work and to move. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We adore you, God. I thank you that we can call upon you. Jesus, in your precious name. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our Sunday school lessons, Foundation of a Christian Life, dealing with those issues, those topics that should be a part of our maturity, are growing in the things of God. And this morning we are draw our attention to Colossians as our focus verse, Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 10. Says that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. Everybody say fruitful. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Galatians chapter number 5 will read down through those things that we refer to as the fruit of the Spirit, but also where it talks about the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, begin reading in verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meek, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse number 25 reads like this: if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We're talking about fruit of the Spirit. We are talking about those things that should be a part of the foundation of our Christian life. Those things that we should seek to have evident in our everyday living. The fruit of the Spirit. From a botanical perspective, fruit is nothing more than stored sugars that are present to sustain a seed as it germinates and grows into a productive plant. Until it can sprout its green leaves and begin the miraculous process of photosynthesis, the seed needs a source of nourishment. This is what the fruit provides. Perhaps it's not so different with the fruit of the Spirit. Perhaps it is to be present in our lives to provide nourishment to the seeds of God's Word planted in our hearts. That fruit providing nourishment to our Christian conduct so that we do those things that are evidence of our walk in relationship with God. So that we do bear fruit, so that we are fruitful. So that those seeds that are planted as we hear the Word of God and the Word of God is taught and we sit under preaching and we read the Word of God and we pray and those nuggets, those seeds are deposited in our life. We need the fruit of the Spirit to surround those things, to help those things to come to maturity, to grow and be made manifest in our life. It's not God's will that we would come to church and that we would hear His Word and that we would interact with what is pure and what is holy and what is right and what is good for us and for those things to be posited into our life via the preached Word of God or via our reading the Word of God. It is not His will that we then allow those things to be suffocated and snuffed out as we participate in works of the flesh. It is His will that we allow the fruit of the Spirit, that those things to nourish those seeds that have been planted so that they do sprout, so that they do germinate and grow, and they are made evident in our everyday living. That we bear the fruit of the Spirit. There is a difference when we talk about things of the Spirit. There is a difference between gifts and fruit. A gift is received by a momentary act of impartation, gifts of the Spirit. But fruit comes forth as it is gradually cultivated by care and labor. People, now understand this. People can be used in gifts of the Spirit at momentary times and for momentary things as God sees fit and according to His discretion. I don't have anything to do with that. I have told people before, God can make a donkey talk. So don't think you're something special if God uses you in impartation of the gifts of the Spirit. Now hold on. But the fruit of the Spirit is something that happens as it gradually grows and I mature in my Christian walk and relationship with Him. Now, please understand, I am not saying or I am not trying to put importance or place in proper perspective, if you will, the difference between gifts. But I do know this, and I have stated it many times, just because God gives me the opportunity or imparts unto me the opportunity to be used in the gifts of the Spirit does not ever negate my responsibility to do so in the fruit of the Spirit. If He gives me a word, I better surround that word with kindness and gentleness and meekness
I need to understand that the fruit protects, the fruit helps those things that God gives and imparts. And be it far from me to ever be used in gifts where God imparts unto me a word of knowledge and I do so in an abusive manner or in a hurtful manner. That's all I'll say upon that. The Bible says this, Paul referencing the church at Corinth, he said that you come behind in no gift. In other words, it is God's will that we have the gifts of the Spirit. It is God's will that the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. But those gifts are imparted unto people who are manifesting fruit of the Spirit. We should carefully look at this scripture. The Bible tells us that it is fruit, singular. It is all of that same Spirit. Just as there are diversities of operations, they are all of the same Spirit. It is the Spirit of Almighty God resident in my life that helps me manifest the fruit of that Spirit. That fruit is evident in my life is only as a result of my continued interaction and cultivation in my conduct and relationship with Jesus Christ. It's also of interest to compare the fruit of the Spirit with the works of the flesh that we read about in Galatians 5:19 through 21. The contrast we can see is there. You see, love is contrary to adultery and fornication and uncleanliness and lasciviousness. Joy is contrary to wrath. Paul told us that the Spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit, and they are contrary one to another. Peace versus strife. Long-suffering is contrary to hatred or variance. Gentleness is contrast to things like murder. Goodness versus seditions and heresy. Faith versus idolatry and witchcraft. Meekness versus envyings and emulations. Temperance versus drunkenness and revelings. We understand that there's a reason why they are placed there, and there's a reason why the Apostle Paul wrote of these things as being contrary one to another, the works of the flesh contrary to the fruit of the Spirit. So if I'm struggling in areas of flesh, maybe I need to understand that there is a fruit that God allows for me to have in my life that will combat. If I'm struggling in an area of flesh and carnality, and I need to recognize that the Lord has already made provision for me to be able to overcome that in the fruit of the Spirit. But without cultivation and effort, the flesh just naturally produces negative traits. It's like the weeds. It's like the thorns, the briars, and the things that you don't need to fertilize those things. You don't need to spend time cultivating those. Those things will happen. The weeds will grow without any effort at all. But if you want what is sustainable and what is good and what gives the ability for you and I to reproduce goodness, we've got to spend time cultivating that. Because if we don't, not only is the fruit stifled, not only is the fruit in some senses strangled out, but what happens is works of the flesh then become made manifest in our life. That is the result of not cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. Say it with me. That's why the Bible says, and we skipped it, but it's there in Galatians 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. In other words, we make a conscious effort to kill. We make a conscious effort to pluck up the weeds and to make sure the thorns are removed. We make a conscious effort to make sure that the works of the flesh are not made manifest in our life. And the way that we do that is by cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. Because they are contrary one to another. Farmers can cultivate the fruit tree and make it possible for the fruit to flourish. And in the spiritual realm, the Spirit is the source of that fruit. And a believer can cooperate with the Spirit to produce abundant fruit. We can allow the things of God to mature and grow in our lives by interacting with God. There is a documentary series that is quite interesting that I stumbled upon, and the title of it sounds kind of rotten because it's titled Rotten. Tough crowd. What it is, it's a documentary based upon food. The first episode in the documentary was talking about honey and how that there has been such in recent years, there has been just this abundance of consumption of honey. But the interesting thing is, while the consumption of honey has skyrocketed, the production of honey has decreased. And so they begin to reveal in this, and I didn't know this, but it was a few years ago. It actually happened here in Chicago. The attorney general had to file charges against a company, and they caught some of the execs of the company before they were trying to flee the U.S. to go back to their home country, because they had been a part of a business where they were importing honey. But when they researched and when they took the honey and put it under a test, they found out that the honey was what's called adulterated honey. Was honey that had been mixed with other chemicals and rice syrup and things that had caused the honey, even though it was labeled 100% honey, not to be honey. I begin to think as I watched that episode, and it began all to reveal all the additives and all the things and all the foods that we consume that say 100% that aren't even close to being 100%. Even though they have the little label, USDA approved or FDA approved, when you do the research, and that's what this documentary was doing, it was finding out all the additives and all the different things, because it was no way possible to produce as much as being consumed because the production wasn't there. So it had to be mixed. And I began to think to myself, well, how do you know? How do you walk then through the stores and stuff that even says organic? Isn't organic? Then something hit me as I saw the beekeepers, and they were taking the little trays out of the beehives and they were raking the honeycomb into the vat. And then it hit me. The only way you truly know that what you're getting is pure honey is if you go to the source. The Bible says, wherefore we are to try the spirits, whether they be of God. How do you know whether what you're manifesting is of God, or what decision you're making is coming? You got to go to the source. You've got to make sure you are in contact with the source. I want to know that what I'm doing and the contact or the conduct that I am implementing in my life, I want to know that it's coming from the source. I want to know that it is fruit of the Spirit. Not a fruit of somebody's idea. Not a fruit of somebody's advice or somebody's counsel. Is it fruit according to the Word of God? Do I find its source in the Spirit? Why? Like we read in our focus verse, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, essentially there are three ways, if you would, that we can look at the fruit of the Spirit working. We can look as it works inwardly, an inward work. In things such as love. There is no doubt that love is the single greatest trait to be displayed by a Christian. Jesus said this, John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Paul remarked, 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, which we know is love. Why is it that love or charity is the greatest? Because it is the motivating force in what we do. For God is love. It is the foundation of all the fruit. It is the foundation, the connection, if you will, to the Spirit of God, the God who is love. Love. And contrary to a popular song years ago, love has got everything to do with it. Love has got everything to do with it. It is about love. It is the first aspect of the fruit, the foundation of all the rest. Without love, there will be no joy or peace or any other aspects of the fruit. Love is essential. It is that inward connection to the things of God. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Love is that connection, that intimacy with God, the God who is love. It's pretty basic. If I desire, and I should, more fruit in my life, then I must desire more God in my life. More interaction with the source. And then there's joy, another inward working fruit, if you will. We need to understand that joy and happiness, though often confused as being one and the same, are vastly different. Happiness is a temporary elation that depends upon circumstances, wherein joy is an abiding inward condition that is constant, regardless of external development. Joy is something that is inward, that is a fruit of the Spirit that I can have regardless of the winds and the waves and the storms that may surround my life. Happiness is that feeling, that momentary elation that I experience as a result of something that has happened. But joy is something that is constant. It remains. And something that I need in my life. Something that you need in your life. Jesus said this in John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I give you these words, and it's something we need to understand. One of the reasons why we need to interact with the Word of God on a consistent basis, and not just on Sundays, and not just on Wednesdays, but every day of our life, we need to interact with the Word of God, because it helps us to maintain the joy in our life, that our joy might be full. Jesus wanted his disciples to know that the painful experiences in life designed to purge and to purify us should not serve to discourage us. Those trials, those troubles that he said would come, those situations and circumstances that do happen in our life, even in the midst of those, if we stay connected to the source, they do not affect us as they affect others, for we have an inner tranquility. We have an inner calm. It is a result of the joy of the Lord, and it is our strength. That's why James said this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Count it joy when you fall into temptations. Count it joy when you're dealing with circumstances. Count it all joy when you're going through this and dealing with that. Because you know, you have an inner calm, understanding. It's not based upon the circumstances that surround your life. We have the example in Jesus Christ found in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Also, there's another inward working, the result of love and joy. There is a peace. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but rather it is that inner calm in the midst of conflict. It is that being able to smile with joy, even in the midst of persecution and problems, because I have an inner peace as a result of my connection with the source. The God who is love, who is helping me to mature and grow in my walk and relationship with Him so that I manifest a fruit called peace, an inner calm. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Psalms 119:165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The fruit of the Spirit will affect more than just one's inner condition. It will also govern the way he or she responds to others. Not only does it work inwardly, it also works outwardly. Fruit like long-suffering. Person with the Spirit will develop endurance, not only with the dramatic major developments of a negative nature, but with the small daily assault on one's patience. Those little things. Those little foxes that want to spoil the vine. Those little things that happen on a consistent basis where I wonder, is this ever going to end? Or is this ever going to change? Or will so-and-so ever be different? Sometimes being able to be long-suffering, to forbear one another as the Bible tells us to do, to not take the opportunity to manifest a mean spirit or say what needs to be said in the moment, to be long-suffering, to take it again and again and again. What Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:1-3, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace," to be long suffering. Let me just be pretty candid with you. There are some individuals in your life, maybe you will never have common ground based upon your personality traits. Maybe that individual, your interaction with that individual always seems to rub you the wrong way. Or maybe that individual as you interact with always seems to be the one individual that no matter what you do or how you seek to steer it elsewhere, it always comes back to somehow just rubbing you the wrong way. What do you do? How do you deal with it? You remain long-suffering. There are some people, guess what? The only way that I'm really going to be able to manifest love is if I'm long-suffering. I'm not trying to pick them apart. I'm not trying to find out. The faults are there. I get it. I'm probably never going to change it. And quite honestly, it's not my responsibility to do so. I'll just suffer through it. I'll show them love and that I'm long-suffering. And that I'll just forbear one another in love. Why? Because I'm endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Long-suffering involves a conscious effort to forbear, to be patient with others, and thereby keep the unity of the Spirit. Or another outward trait of gentleness. This does not come easy. It's not always easy to be a gentle person. It's much easier to condemn, to judge, talk down, and be condescending. Gentleness comes as we learn to speak kindly and softly, speak words that minister grace to those that hear. Well, I don't have much tact. I'm just that kind of person. Wait a second. Well, I just say what I'm thinking. I don't have much of a filter. I'm sorry, I don't find that exception in the Word of God. If I find myself being that way, maybe it's because I lack some fruit in my life. And maybe I need to go back to the source and say, Father, change me. Help me be different. Help me not just speak when it comes to my mind. Help me to learn how to filter and filter through gentleness. And be kind and speak softly. For a soft answer turneth away wrath. For goodness. Goodness speaks of a basic character. Paul said this in reference to himself. I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And so goodness must be imparted to us from the character of Christ. It's not really in our makeup to be good. Goodness comes from our interaction with He who is good. There is only one who is good. There is none good but God. And so if goodness is going to be displayed in my life, it's going to be as a result. That outward influence and impact and evidence of goodness is going to be in my life. It's going to come as a result of me being connected to the source of goodness. The basic character of goodness will affect one's ethics. You will do proper things because they are right, not because they are popular or convenient. What about, not only is it inward, not only is it outward, but it's also upward. Faith, an upward fruit. There are essentially three different kinds of faith referred to in the New Testament. The first is faith, which is essential for salvation. It comes by hearing God's word. The second is miraculous faith. It is a gift of the Spirit. And the third is faith that is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Perhaps this kind of faith could be defined as continuing quiet trust or faithfulness and dependability. As a Christian grows in the Lord, he should gradually learn how to overcome fear and trust in the Lord in all circumstances. My faith is upward. My faith is in Him. I know where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. We have but a few moments. Let me hurry on. Or meekness. Meekness has to do with realizing one's total dependency upon God. Christian must come step by step to the point of realizing that everything he has belongs to God and everything he will ever be is because of God. It's an upward fruit that says, Lord, I understand it's only by you and through you. And then there's temperance. Essentially self-control. Applies to all areas of life. Apostle Paul said, he that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Self-control. We should be careful not to go to extremes in any area of life, but be very well balanced. It's possible for things that are not inherently sinful to become sin if we give inordinate amounts of time to them and give them a place above spiritual pursuits. That's why I need temperance. Because if I'm not careful, that hobby in and of itself is not sinful. Can halt my growing relationship with God. That's why temperance is necessary. All our professions and proclamations mean little if people in the world observe our lives to be little different from theirs. Talk about ourselves being Christians. We can testify of the places that we attend, or the church that we're a part of, the things that we do or don't do. But the goal of each Christian should be to develop each aspect of the fruit of the Spirit to the highest possible potential in his or her life. A Christian should never be satisfied in their present state. They should ever press unto fuller dimensions. I want more. More of you, God. I need more fruit in my life. I need the evidence of your work in me to be displayed in my everyday living, in my conduct, in my conversation, in my behavior, all that I am. Closing, you can stand to your feet. When a believer is tempted to lust, he must love instead. When he's tempted to despair, he must have joy instead. When he's tempted to yield to frustration, he must seek to have peace. When he's tempted to be impatient and unkind, he must be long-suffering. He or she is tempted to be harsh, must be gentle. And tempted to act from motivation of flesh, we must in turn act from motivation of the Spirit. We are tempted to fear, we must have faith. We are tempted to exhibit pride, we must be meek. We are tempted to go to extremes, we must learn to be temperate, to manifest self-control. And we, day by day, must resist the works of the flesh and yield to the fruit of the Spirit. And as a result, we will grow and mature in our walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. Matthew 7:20. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them.
Lord Jesus, we love you. But we need more of you in our lives. Lord, I need to find myself constantly and consistently coming back to the source. Kneeling before you, humility and meekness. Understanding that it's only by you and through you am I able to manifest goodness in my life. I need you. I need you, Jesus. The foundation of my walk and relationship with you has to be built upon the source. Those things that are strong and give me stability and are made evident in my everyday living. As I manifest fruit of the Spirit. A few moments, our classes will be returning. As they begin to sing and play, can you find a place to pray? Can you either come here to the altar, the pew where you are. Next few moments, can we all pray? Lord, help me. Forgive me for the times where I've manifested works of the flesh, where I leaned upon my own understanding, where I've tried in my own way. Forgive me, Lord, and help me to return to you, God. The fruit of the Spirit would be made evident in my life. Hallelujah.
More love, more power, more love in my life.
Can that be our prayer this morning?
More love.
I need to manifest more love in my life.
More power. More of you in my life. And I will worship you.